So my own dear Ned, think of what I have said and believe. Love me and know that no one in all the universe can love you as I do. Good night and God bless you. Your own true and loving, Helen. July 8, 1917. I am here, John. Well, I was with you tonight and you did not learn any truth from the preacher's discourse that is vital to the salvation of men. He does not know the truth, and consequently, cannot teach others. You could readily see his want of knowledge when he declared that Jesus was not different from the other teachers to whom he referred, or did not teach any truths that they did not teach. No, I am sorry to say, he does not know the truth, and his opportunity is so great to teach the truth for the majority of his hearers do not. The Paget Messages 1917, believe and the Orthodox creeds, and their minds are open to a reception of the truth. His conception of the relationship of man to God, and of man's own constitution as regards spiritual things, are all wrong, and he will not be able to learn the truth from the investigation of spiritualism as he is now studying it, for all he knows is that men when they become spirits continue to live and have the power of communicating with mortals, and also that spirits are all happy or very shortly after their entrance into the spirit world may become so by their own exertions by the development of the divine spark, as he calls it, that exists in all men's souls. He may learn the truth before he comes to the spirit world, and he may not, for there is no way other than through the information contained in your writings by which he can learn these truths. His advising his hearers to pursue the course of conduct that the moral teachings of the great teachers of light, as he denominates them, show, to men, will not give them the truth and the light and the liberty of which he so loudly discoursed. There were many spirits present and some of them communicated to their friends, as the preacher told them, for he is a psychic and has the gift of clairaudience and also of clairvoyance to some degree, but he also is a man of quick perception and readily grasps the conditions of the mind and desires of those who are so anxious to hear from their departed friends, and sometimes he uses the information which he gathers by the exercise of his quick wit to describe to the people, the presence of those in the spirit life that they are anticipating will make their presence known by communicating. But aside from this he receives many messages from the spirits and he tries honestly to deliver them to the hearers for whom they are intended. Now, while all this is true and affords consolation to many of these anxious ones, yet the meetings do you no good as we have told you, for the influences of the spirits who attend these meetings are not helpful to the development of your soul qualities, and it is not desirable that you come in contact with these spirits who always try to make a rapport whenever the opportunity occurs. There were also some spirits of the higher order present who were interested in their relatives and friends, and tried to get in rapport with these persons for the purpose of helping them, but generally their efforts were not very successful as the conditions prevailing did not enhance the 594 probability of making the rapport or permitting the influence to be felt. Well, I see that you are feeling better tonight and more hopeful and realize the result of the prayers that you offered to the Father and the increase of your faith in us. If you will continue to pray and exercise this faith you will find yourself helped to such an extent that the troubles you have will not worry you very much, and in addition, such a condition of mind on your part helps us to more effectively perform our part of the work in bringing to you those things that you so much desire. You may not understand the philosophy of this, but sometime I will come to you and make clear the operation of the laws that are brought into use in bringing these results. Only believe and pray, and you will not be forsaken. Well, I will not write more, but soon I must come and write a message, and if you improve, I will be able to do so in a very satisfactory way. So try to get in this condition. Remember that I love you and am with you very often, trying to help you spiritually and materially, and that you will be so helped. With my love and blessings I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Helen. Well dear, I see that you are tired and I will not write much. But I must say that I am so glad that you are feeling better and more hopeful. Keep up your courage and everything will be all right. I was with you at the meeting, but will not write my impressions now. You were not benefited. Try to have faith and pray and I believe that tomorrow night you will be in condition to receive my letter that I so much desire to write. Love me and believe that I love you. Good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. July 9, 1917. I am here, Jesus. Well, my brother, I see that you are much better than you have been for some days past, and that you have prayed more to the Father for the inflowing of His love, and, as a consequence, have more of it in your soul, and are in a better condition spiritually and physically. I should like to finish my message on God tonight, but I do not think that you are in just the condition necessary to enable you to receive it, and I think it desirable to postpone it for a while longer. The Paget Messages 1917. You must surely realize the effect of prayer to a greater extent than ever, because if you had not prayed as you have been doing for the past few days, you would have found yourself in a great degree of despondency, as the same cause for creating this despondency exists now as it existed several days ago when you were so depressed and worried. Prayer is a wonderful help when offered with the true longings of the soul and will always find a response, and the benefit will not be merely spiritual but, as you may say, material as well. Of course, prayer does not remove the cause of worry and thus relieve the mortal from worry, but it operates on the mortal's consciousness in such a way as to remove the effect of this cause of worry on the feelings and mental conditions of the mortal, and in this way is the mortal benefited and his prayers responded to. He, as it were, becomes a new man and ceases to look upon these causes in the same light that he did before the prayers commenced to bring their responses. And he in his real self is a different man from what he was when in the condition that existed before he prayed. I am so very glad that you prayed and let your longings go out to the Father, and tried to have faith in us to help you. We are helping you, and you will soon realize the result of our work in securing those things that you desire and consider necessary to enable you to get rid of your worries and perform our work. Continue to pray and to have faith in us, and you will not be disappointed in what we promise, for our promises will be fulfilled in a very short time. I have many messages yet to write, and so desire that you get in condition to receive them properly, and besides myself, there are many other spirits who want to write upon these truths, that are so important that the world should know. So, if you continue to pursue the course that you followed today, you will find a wonderful improvement in your condition of soul and mind and spirit qualities, and we will be able to form the required rapport that is necessary to our properly communicating. I will not write more tonight. But in closing, I advise that you continue to pray with all the longings of your soul, and to believe with all the strength of your mind, and you will develop to a surprising degree in your soul qualities and perceptions and also in your physical condition and mental strength. I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Yes, it is Helen. And I will write only a few lines as I see that you are feeling so much better physically and spiritually, and I think it best that you go to bed early tonight. I am so glad that you do not feel so worried as you did, and also, that you can understand that prayer helps so much to get rid of the worries while it may not remove the immediate cause thereof, but as you are helped, you are strengthened and the better fitted to deal with the causes and overcome them. So my own dear Ned, continue to pray, and try to have faith in us, and you will realize so wonderfully the response to your prayers, and the fulfillment of your hopes and freedom from your causes of worry. Good night, your own true and loving, Helen. July 11, 1917. I am here, St. John. I heard your prayer and know that this love is flowing into your soul and that now you have a great abundance of its possession of which you are conscious. It will never fail you when you pray in earnestness and with the real longings for its coming. It is always ready to respond to your aspirations and to make you feel its presence and the happiness that comes with it. I, as you know, am your special friend in my work of helping to develop your soul, and whenever you pray to the Father, as you have just prayed, I come to you with my love and influence to help open up your soul to the inflowing of this love. Have faith, and you will have the certainty of the presence of the love, and that it is your seeking to come into your soul in greater and more abundance. You are blessed in that you have the knowledge of the existence of this love, and that it may be yours if you so will it to be, and pray with the true longings of your soul's desires. You cannot doubt the truth of what I write, for, as in the ordinary things of life, There is nothing so convincing as personal experience, and your experience is such that there has been no room for doubt. So if you would keep the consciousness of the presence of this love continually alive, pray and pray whenever the opportunity presents itself. And by this I don't mean that you shall wait for a time when you are not engaged in your business affairs, but at moments when the mind may be 595, the Paget messages 1917, free, even if only for a moment, from these business affairs. The longings, if exercised only for a moment, will bring their results, for God's ear is always open and ready to cause the responses to such longings. One moment of true soul felt longings is more effective than hours of prayer where these longings are not present. The prayers of the lip or of habit rises no higher than the escaping breath, and does not cause the love to respond and flow into the soul. Remember this, and then realize how futile are all the prayers of preachers and ostensible worshippers when the soul's longings and desires are not present. Only soul can call to soul, and love responds only when such soul calls. The mere desires of the mind, if I may so express my meaning, do not in the least affect the soul, and as mind can operate only on mind, there cannot possibly be any activity of the soul's faculties, when only mind is in operation. Hence, you will see that all the worship that comes merely from the mind will not effectuate the working of the love or bring into operation the Spirit's work. I write this to further encourage you, and also to make plain the necessity for the true prayer. John, July 22, 1917. I am here, St. Luke, writer of the third gospel that was. Well, I desire to write a few lines on the subject contained in the book which you were reading tonight. I mean the book dealing with the creation and fall of man. Well, the man who wrote the book is endeavoring to reconcile the Bible doctrine of the creation and fall of man with the scientists' doctrine of evolution, and to show that these two views of the subject are not antagonistic, and if properly understood, may be used, one to support the other. But in this he has not succeeded, nor can he, for this reason, if there were no others, that man did not evolve from the beast or lower animal, but was always man, the creature of God, perfect in his creation and wholly natural. 31. There was nothing of the supernatural about him, and he never possessed any nature of the 31. The issue of evolution and creation seems to have been a subject that James Paget had difficulty in receiving accurately, and it is worth researching contemporary messages received about this issue. Superman, from which he fell at the time of his disobedience. He has never been anything more or less than the perfect creation of his Maker, although he has degenerated in his qualities and in the exercise of his will. Evolution, or the doctrine of evolution, has its limitations, and its founder, or those who follow him either wholly or in a modified way, are not able to retrace this doctrine to the fall of man, and hence, when they attempt to pass beyond that stage when man seemed to have been very degenerate and a product of the animal progenitors, they get into the field of speculation, and knowledge ceases to exist. Man was not created with any of the divine qualities, as the writer seems to think, but was made a merely natural man that you see now, without the defilement of his soul qualities, which involves only the elimination of those things from his soul that cause the departure from the condition of his creation. That is, when he was created he was in perfect harmony with the will of God and his laws, and when he shall be restored to that harmony of unity with these laws, he will then be in what was his before the fall. So the idea put forward by the author that man was created with something of the divine in him, which took him out from a kind of physical condition of imperfection, and that when he lost these divine qualities he fell into that imperfect condition, is all wrong. The great truth connected with man's creation is that man was created perfect, that as regards his order of creation or the qualities of his moral and physical nature there could be no progress, for the next step in progression would be the divine. Thus you will see that he was so wonderfully and perfectly made, that he was only a little lower than the angels, and by angels I mean the souls of men which have ceased to be incarnate and have partaken of the divine love and become a part of the Father in his divinity of love, not the mere souls in the spirit world which have only the development of their moral qualities, because these, whenever they have become purified and in harmony with the laws and will of God, are only men perfected in their natures and organisms as they were at the time of man's creation. I say, the perfect man possesses those qualities and attributes that were his at the time of his creation, and he cannot progress or become greater or other than he was at the time of such creation. He was made perfect as a creation, and beyond the perfect there can be nothing greater. 596, the Paget Messages 1917, evolved from the qualities and faculties, one and all, that made him perfect. And to progress, there must come into his nature, from without, the divine love, that which will add to these qualities and faculties, which you may understand is no part or method of evolution. When the first parents fell, they lost that which destroyed the harmony of their existence with the laws of God, and also were deprived of the great potentiality of becoming divine in their natures of love and immortality, like unto the Father, but as mere created men they fell from perfection and not from divinity. Nor were they by that fall deprived of the possibility of living forever in the physical bodies, because those bodies were made only for the purpose of enabling the souls to individualize themselves, and thereafter die and become dissolved into their derivative elements. The physical body was never created to live forever, and men were never created to live on earth forever, for a greater and larger world was provided for their eternal habitation, where things are real and only the spiritual exist. The earth is a mere image of the realities of the spirit world, and exists only as the nursery for the individualizing of the soul. That you may not misconceive my meaning, remember the soul is the man, the ego, and that when man fell, it was not the physical part of man that fell, except as it was influenced by the soul, but, it was the soul that fell, and the sentence of death was not pronounced upon the physical, but upon the soul potentialities, and, hence, you may see, that when man shall again become the perfect man, it will not be necessary that the physical body be restored. Even if it were not contrary to the physical laws of the universe, or, to speak more correctly, to the laws controlling the material part of the universe, that the material body of man be resurrected and again be housed, the soul, it would not be necessary, for the soul has its spirit body which manifests its individuality. There is no necessity for the resurrection of the physical body, and there will be no such resurrection, for God never does a useless thing. As I say, man has never ceased to be the man of God's creation, although he has become degenerate and defiled, and at one time in the history of his existence devolved to that degree, where, save for the essential qualities of his creation, he appeared to be lower than the brutes, but he was always the man of God's creation, and never an animal of the lower order. The scientists in their geological search and research and in their 597 finds of fossils and traces of ancient man, and in their biological theories, conclude that man was of a lower degree of intelligence and manner of living, and they may be justified in so concluding, and also that he has gradually evolved from that condition and state, and draw apparent correct theories therefrom, yet when they attempt to go further, they enter only into the realm of speculation and become lost in the darkness of mystery. They can rightly acclaim the evolution of man from where they lose him in their retracing of that evolution, but can know nothing of his devolution anterior to that time, and, hence their speculations are without foundation of substance. No, man has not evolved from the lower animal, but only from himself when he reached the bottom of his fall. In this particular, the history and experience of man is this: he was created perfect. He sinned, he fell from the condition of his created state, his condition at the bottom of his fall was inferior in some phases to the brute animal. After long centuries he commenced to rise from his base condition, and had made progress when the scientists by their discoveries found evidence of his then condition, and since then he has been the subject of their evolution. But the scientists and all mankind must know that all during these centuries of descent and ascent, man was always man, the greatest creation of God, and the most fallen. Well, I have written enough for tonight, but as I was with you today as you were reading and saw the misconceptions of the writer of the book, as well as those of the scientists to whom he referred, I thought it advisable to write the few incompleted truths about the subject. I will soon come and write. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. July 29, 1917. I am here, Mrs. Mitchell. Let me say only a word. I was present at church this morning and heard my son's sermon, and was so happy that he preached of the divine love of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. It made me think that the truths of God's love and man's redemption are becoming a part of his soul's knowledge. There were many spirits present and many were affected by the sermon and turned their thoughts to this love the Father that had never before been preached to them. The Paget Messages 1917. I have great hope that my son will receive the truths that have been revealed to you in their fullness, and thereby receive to a greater degree this transformation of his soul into the very essence of the Father. I thank you for your kindness, and will not write more. So with my love I will say good night. Your sister in Christ, Mrs. Mitchell, mother of Reverend Mitchell, Methodist. I am here, your own true and loving, Helen. Well dear, you have received a message from the preacher's mother, Mrs. Mitchell, who was so anxious to write. She is very happy, and believes that her son will have an awakening to the truth and put aside his dogmatic beliefs. I was with you at church and was very happy, because I saw that you were happy. The Master was there as you realized in all his love and soothing influence, and was pleased that the preacher delivered the sermon as he did. Many of the audience were affected by what was said and their souls responded to the truths told them by the preacher, and they experienced a feeling of love that made them happy. I see that you are sleepy and I will not write more. Only continue to think of these spiritual things and pray to the Father, and you will find the love increasing more and more in your soul. So love me and believe that I love you. Good night, my dear one. Your own true and loving, Helen. August 28, 1917. I am here, and want to say a word to my friend, as I have not written for a long time. I heard what was said in reference to protection being afforded Mr. Morgan when the broker calls upon him to write, and I desire to say that I will be present, and the priests will not have any opportunity to interfere, because I am stronger than any of these fellows of the Pope's and will not hesitate to use my power. Not that I do not want them to receive the benefit that so many of them have received in their communications with Mr. Morgan, but I realize the importance of what you are attempting to do, and the priests will have to wait a while in order to make their assaults. I am progressing, and it seems to me that I am a different spirit altogether from what I was when I first came in contact, consciously, with you, and had my eyes and soul open to the truth. I cannot 598 tell you how much I am benefited by the messages I hear you read and discuss with your friends, and also by the explanation of the truth that Mr. Morgan so often gives to the spirits who come to dissuade him from doing his work. It may seem strange to you that we are benefited by what you mortals may say as to the truths of the spirit world, and you may naturally suppose that we, being here in the spirit world, would more easily learn these truths from the higher spirits than learn the same from you. But the fact is that these higher spirits do not often come into our plane and disclose these truths, except when they come and communicate with you. Of course, we have spirits here who teach us truths, but these truths are not of so comprehensive a nature as what you receive. We are taught only as we progress and are fitted to receive the next lesson in advance, as you might say. This may not appeal to your reasoning in such matters, but it is a truth. You are having revealed to you a wonderful plan of God for the salvation of man, and to be taught to men whether their conditions are such as to enable them to fully grasp the great significance of the truths or not. We are taught that plan only as we progress, and that truth or part of the truth is sufficient for us as we are at the time capable of applying or making it our own. I merely thought that you would like to know just what the truth is in reference to our being taught and the manner in which we are taught by these spirits, whose work it is to open up to us the truths that may be embraced by us. So you see, we can learn of things by listening to your messages and the instructions that you and your friend and my friend may give us, where we cannot learn from our spirit teachers. I am with him a great deal, and am his friend and protector so far as in my power, as I promised to be. I could not be otherwise, and he must not forget that among all the spirits here who love him, he has no more devoted friend than, Sam Ford. September 16, 1917. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, The master has written you an important message 32 and I know it will help you in your conception of what and how you shall work. 32. Note, this message is either out of order, or there are other messages written by Jesus not included in the archive of the Paget messages. See the next message. The Paget messages 1917. He was in great earnestness when he wrote, and we all felt that he was speaking with authority and knowledge that only he possesses. So keep in mind what he has said and try to follow his instructions. So, good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. September 17, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I come as I promised and desire to write on a subject that requires that I should have absolute control of your brain and hand, and tonight I see that you are not just in the condition necessary. So I will not write on the subject, as I intended, but will postpone the same until later. But I will say a few words that may be of interest to you and your friend, whose conversation tonight I listened to, and saw what was in both your minds and hearts. I realize that you both appreciate the importance of the work that is set before you, and that you have arrived at that condition of faith which causes you to forego all interest in material things so far as they may benefit you personally, and it is well that you are in this state of feeling and appreciation of the work, for this work is of such an exclusive nature that in order to be performed in the way that we desire and which is necessary that the truths which you receive shall be given to the world, all thoughts of the things that ordinarily belong to the mere human living must be eliminated and turned aside. These truths, while, when understood and applied by the individual, will not render that individual less qualified to perform the duties of life, but on the contrary will increase these qualifications, and must be so taught. Yet in the case of you who are to make and teach these truths, your interest in the world must be forgotten or submerged in these higher interests. In other words, while you are in the world you must not be of the world, as I taught my disciples when on earth. Of course, while you are mortals you will have to have these things that are necessary to sustain life and health and comfort, and your work does not require that you shall make sacrifices of these things, but that you shall have the comforts that are necessary to your enjoying the merely physical life, and this you must understand. As you have said, the work will be hard and the difficulties that you shall encounter will be great, but you will be able to do the work and overcome the 599 difficulties, for I desire to tell you here that never in all the history of mankind has any work had behind it the power and influence of the high spirits of the spirit world as your work will have, and your faith must be such that no possibility of failure will be permitted to enter into your conception of success. The world is now ready for those truths, for men's souls have been and will be more open to the possibility and necessity of seeking for and obtaining things spiritual than ever before, and mankind will, and now does, realize that man himself, notwithstanding the teachings of some of the writers that man is of the divine and of himself capable of self-regeneration, is not able to become brothers in truth and reality, and that the brotherhood of man is a mere dream when based upon the power of man because of any qualities of goodness or of the divine that he may be supposed to possess. Time is passing and the great conflict that has deluged the mortal world with bloodshed and hatred and vengeance will soon come to an end, and men will wander in confusion and seek that which may bring them into unison and brotherly kindness, and also into a greater knowledge of the world unknown to them, the hereafter. Faith will fail to satisfy and their souls will long for the spiritual food that will have in it the qualities of certainty and knowledge. They will think in their hearts and in many instances declare that the Christian faith, as has been taught them by the churches, does not satisfy, and the creeds and dogmas of the churches have been failures, and will cry out for something that will fill their souls with spiritual food of truth and salvation. So we must work and be prepared to give to mankind the truth and this food, a knowledge of the only way to the Father's love, and of what the possession of this love and the souls of men will mean to them. I feel that you are both in earnest in your desire to do the work and that all opportunities will be embraced, and that when you are free to give your whole time to the work you will permit nothing to intervene. And this you will do for the good of humanity without thought of reward, and such should be your desires. But nevertheless, your reward will be great, not in the way